It's a News Buzz edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. We're devoting this News Buzz to conversations about the Iowa caucuses. They are just 3 days away. Now let's hear from a pair of political opposites that we've had on this program before. In just a moment, I'll chat with Bob Vanderplaats of The Family Leader. But first, Donna Redwing is executive director of One Iowa, the state's leading lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender organization. Donna Redwing, nice to talk with you again.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Donna, I'm eager to find out your view on the field of candidates we have just before the caucuses.
Well, we have quite a field, don't we? We have some, and I have to speak from the LGBT community because that's what I represent. And so as I look at this field, we have some who have been friends of equality for years and years and years, whose records really demonstrate that support. And then on way on the other side, we have candidates who have called for the end of marriage equality. We have candidates who stood with Reverend Swanson at a religious freedom event and stood there and said nothing while he called for the execution of homosexuals. And then we have everyone in between. So as an LGBT person and representing an LGBT group, we have quite a field of candidates.
When you look at what's been discussed during this election season so far, what are your thoughts on the degree to which the candidates have focused on issues that are most important to One Iowa?
Well, certainly on one side, and then that would be the Democratic side, we've heard a lot of conversation around equality, around human and civil rights, around social justice. And that's always good to hear. We've heard their records. We hear what they're saying and what they want to do. So I think for LGBT people, we have some real friends there.
Mm-hmm.
On the other side, with the GOP, we have some fairly moderate people who have, you know, records that aren't all that bad on LGBT issues, and I think among them would be Governor Kasich and certainly Governor Christie. But as we look at the candidates and as we go further and further to the right, we see some real problems. We see people calling for traditional marriage. We see people calling for the Religious Freedom Restoration Acts, which are simply a way to discriminate. So again, I think for LGBT people, there are lots of choices to make. Some are pretty simple.
Mm-hmm. And just to make sure we're clear, where are the leaders in the polls on the GOP? We have Trump and Cruz leading in the polls. You would put them where on that spectrum?
I would put Cruz as far right as possible. I think he believes what he's saying. I think that he is no friend of the LGBT community, and a Cruz presidency would scare me to death. I think Trump, however, regardless of what he's saying, has a record of being fairly LGBT tolerant. So I think they're very, very different people when we look at where they are on LGBT issues.
Let's look forward to the 4 years that this president will be in charge of the nation to the degree that a president can be. How much of a difference might the choice of a president make? What's at stake, Donna, for you?
For me and for the LGBT community, everything is at stake in the next presidency. You know, there is certainly there's certainly legislation like the Equality Act, which would make employment non-discrimination, you know, a federal mandate. There are lots of things that could happen, but I think the most important is the Supreme Court. There could be three or four open positions in the next 4 to 8 years. Those decisions really are going to affect the LGBT community. You know, is equality the law of the land? Are we protected? Are we embraced by our government or not? And the wrong choices, the wrong judicial choices could be devastating.
Mm-hmm. Many in the GOP talk about religious freedom. That's been a big call for them to get out and support various candidates. Do you see their perspective in terms of what they see as their religious freedom being limited?
I've spent a lot of time working around the issues of religious freedom. I believe that it is our first freedom. It's the First Amendment. And I believe in their right to their beliefs, whatever they are. However, their understanding of the First Amendment, their understanding of religious freedom, has nothing to do with what our founders envisioned. Their brand of religious freedom would allow them to discriminate, would allow them to look at people and say, my religion says I don't have to, and then fill in the blanks. We saw that with lunch counters in the 40s and 50s, didn't we? We saw that attempted here in Iowa. It's a very, very dangerous understanding of religious freedom.
Mm-hmm. Donna, you have a good long-standing relationship with Bob Vanderplaats. He is the president and CEO of the Christian Conservative Organization here in Iowa, the family leader. You meet for coffee regularly, and you do this even though you disagree on many, many issues. Now, I wonder if you see that quality of openness to dialogue in any of the candidates, especially the candidates you most strongly disagree with. Is that there? Do you sense it's there in any of them?
I never say never. I think it would be a cold day in hell when Ted Cruz would sit down with Donna Redwing, but, you know, who knows? I think there are some candidates, though, who would be open to dialogue with the LGBT community. I think Chris Christie, certainly Governor Kasich. I think Jeb Bush would be a great example. I think there are some where we could sit down and find common ground. I think those, and maybe even Donald Trump, but those at the far, far, far right, and that would be Ted Cruz, and probably Marco Rubio, I think that it would be very difficult.
It's been several months since we've spoken, and we've both experienced the campaign season heating up. I wonder, since you are such a proponent of maintaining civil dialogue, has that been hard in this atmosphere?
It hasn't been hard for me in this atmosphere. I think it's going to be hard for the candidates, and I've been watching both sides. And I'm really impressed with some candidates who have kept their candidacy clear of the kind of snarkiness and incivility that we often see. I think we're going to see this sharpening over the next few months as we get closer and closer to the nominee. And I just hope that we can avoid the kinds of campaigns we saw here in Iowa in our last senatorial campaign.
Mm-hmm. This election season has surprised all the pundits. We can agree on that, Donna Redwing, both on the left and the right of the political spectrum. I wonder, what are your thoughts on how you explain what's going on at this particular point in our states and our nation's political history?
I think you're referring to the fact that among the front runners are Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders.
Yes.
I think Bernie Sanders is not a surprise. I think Bernie Sanders speaks to a constituency that feels that business as usual has not impacted them well. I think he speaks to a lot of people, especially younger people, who want something different, want something better. So Bernie Sanders doesn't surprise me. When he first got in the race, he was asked, you know, in fact, I asked him, are you in to win or are you in to make a point? And he was in to win. So it doesn't surprise me. Donald Trump is a real surprise, and it kind of frightens me that the number of not only Iowans, but the number of Americans who support Donald Trump, I don't understand.
Donna Redwing, to finish up, I won't ask you who One Iowa is endorsing because you are a nonprofit and don't endorse candidates, but I want to thank you very much for your thoughts. Executive Director of One Iowa, the state's leading lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender organization. Nice talking with you, Donna.
Thank you so much.
It's a pre-caucus News Buzz edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Now let's talk with someone who represents a very different part of the political spectrum. Bob Vanderplaats is president and CEO of the conservative Christian organization, The Family Leader. He's been on our program before. Hello, Bob.
Hey, Ben. Glad to be on your program.
Now, I would like to get your views on many of the same points that I asked your friend, Donna Redwing. Let's start with the candidates. You have personally endorsed Ted Cruz. I understand this is not an endorsement of the family leader, but your endorsement.
Yeah, I have personally endorsed the United States Senator Ted Cruz for president. I think, though, Ben, as you've probably noticed, we've had several Republican candidates, many really, really good candidates, and many friends in the race. Mike Huckabee's a close friend. Rick Santorum's a close friend. We like Marco Rubio a lot, Carly Fiorina, Ben Carson, a lot of good candidates. But for us, and for me specifically and personally, Ted Cruz just checked all the boxes, and I think he's really built a great campaign to not only win in Iowa, but to win well beyond Iowa. Mm-hmm. So we're excited for February 1.
What's beside those boxes that you checked? What are the main points that you were looking for in a candidate?
Well, I think the first box is character. He's a man of high integrity. He's a person that we definitely can trust. Two is he's very competent. A lot of people like to think they're the smartest person in the room when they're in there. Ted might actually be the smartest person in the room. He clerked for a U.S. Supreme Court. He brought cases in front of the U.S. Supreme Court and won as Solicitor General of Texas. He campaigned for the U.S. Senate and then led being a U.S. Senator the way he campaigned. So he really has a deep conviction, but he's very, very competent. And then the third one is, you know, what kind of company do they keep? Who do they surround themselves with? Who are their advisors? And he has established just a great team. So when we check those boxes, he just looked like he's the best one to not only win the Republican nomination, but I also believe to win the general election.
Does it trouble you that Ted Cruz has not a single endorsement from any other senator in his own party?
No, it really doesn't. First of all, there's a lot of senators. Take a look at Iowa's own senators, Grassley and Ernst. They don't endorse. They stay out of the endorsement game. There's a lot of senators like that. Congressmen are more readily to endorse, and he's got several congressmen's endorsement, including one of Iowa's own congressmen's, Steve King's endorsement. But as I would tell people all the time, if Congress is readily embracing you and championing you, when the people are saying we need a change in D.C., that would be a little bit, there'd be a disconnect there.
In recent days, Donald Trump unleashed multiple tweets that were critical of you, Bob Vanderplaats. If I can read one, a tweet from Donald Trump directed at you. Why doesn't phony Bob Vanderplaats tell his followers all the times he asked for him and his family to stay at my hotels, didn't like paying? He tweeted that was on Tuesday morning, and in reply, you tweeted, still consider you a friend, and you still can't have my endorsement. My friendship isn't phony.
You know, I wish Donald Trump would come clean and say, how about the invitation, Donald, to Bob Vanderplaats to come out to New York so you could lavish your friendship on me, which he did. But now that friendship has strings attached. And because I didn't give you the endorsement, I'm not controlled. He's very open, and you know this, Ben, in the debates, where he says, you know, I give to all the politicians because then I control them. They just do what I tell them to
do. Stayed cost-free at his hotels, and you're saying he expected something different from you.
But there's no doubt. I mean, and friends do that all the time. I got friends all around the country who say, hey, when you're in my city, stay with me, or I'll put you up here, whatever it is. And I do the same thing here. You come to Des Moines, either stay with Darla and I, or I'll actually put you up in one of our hotels here. We do that for friends, especially when they come to our city. And that's what he did for us. And we did that a couple of times. It's not like we're out there every weekend or every other weekend. But the thing is, what he's upset about is, hey, I lavished friendship. I told Bob I'm a friend of his. I helped him out. But now Bob hasn't given me his endorsement, so I'm going to come after him. The good news about that, Ben, is we won the Twitter battle with Donald Trump. He's now silent as a church mouse about this issue. And the Washington Post, the New York Times, and the Des Moines Register all have my back because there's an interesting thing that the truth will set you free. Because Donald Trump followed up with a falsehood saying that I wanted $100,000 for a speaking engagement. No, that wasn't the case at all. I wanted Donald Trump to come in and have an invitation in front of a lot of influential Iowans. But I didn't want him to charge anybody for it. He charged the organizers $100,000. So he wanted to put that I wanted $100,000. No. He wanted the $100,000, And the organizers came right out and had my back and said, no, that was all Trump. Vanderplaats did him a very gratuitous endeavor by giving him the introduction and the opportunity without receiving a dime. Trump needed the $100,000 because it's all about Donald Trump. At the end of the day, it's all about Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm. Let's switch lanes here. Let's talk a little bit about your longstanding relationship with Donna Redwing of One Iowa, the state's leading lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender organization. Conversation with her previous to talking with you here. You meet for coffee regularly, even though you disagree on many, many issues. And I wonder, do you see that? And I know you value this type of openness to dialogue with people, even the ones you disagree with. Do you see that in any of the candidates, especially those, perhaps not even the Republican Party, you most disagree with? What can you say about the rest of the field?
Well, what I can say about that is I've seen that in Senator Ted Cruz. What I like about Ted Cruz, he's willing to have a dialogue, a debate, a discussion without calling people names.
Well, what about someone you disagree with more, like a Bernie Sanders or a Hillary Clinton?
Oh, I'd be happy to sit down and have a conversation with them. And matter of fact, I think Senator Ted Cruz would be happy to sit down and have a conversation with them.
That's funny because right before we spoke, Donna said, and this is a quote from what she said a few minutes ago, it would be a cold day in hell when Ted Cruz would sit down with Donna Redwing. You don't think that's true?
Oh, I don't think it's true at all. Matter of fact, I'm surprised that Donna would say that because I don't see Donna casting judgment on somebody until she knew them or put out the invitation to them. That's what I loved about my and Donna's relationship. Donna knows that I would put out the invitation and sit down with Bernie. And I guarantee you, Ted would be most willing to sit down with Donna Redwing and visit with her. I know Ted really well. That's what I like about him. Even when the protesters come up to Ted Cruz, and they start, he says, listen, I'm willing to give you your time. I'm willing to have the discussion, the debate, but we're going to do it in a civil dialogue and substantive manner. We're not going to call each other names. And that's what I think we want to do. That's what Donna Redwing and I have been trying to model across the state. So I would say Ted Cruz, and I don't mean to pick on Donna here because I love Donna, is I think Ted Cruz kind of models that.
Okay, Bob Vanderplaats, President and CEO of the Conservative Christian Organization, The Family Leader. Nice to speak with you again to get your views. Bob, as always.
Always good to visit with you.